No uterus, no opinion. As states across this nation have been passing heartbeat bills that ban abortion after 6 weeks or when a heartbeat is detectable, the radical left has been losing their collective minds over this. You're listening to The Straight White Male. I'll say it one more time before we begin. No uterus, no opinion. Again, the abortion debate has been ramping up in the last few months, and the pro-abortion left has lost their grip on reality. And really, it's designed to create a cognitive dissonance they need to cope with the moral murdering of the unborn. In recent news, states like Ohio, Alabama, and Georgia have passed heartbeat bills that ban abortion past 6 to 7 weeks or when a heartbeat is detectable. In Alabama, abortions are banned in almost all cases, and because of these huge wins for the pro-life movement, the left has collectively lost their minds. So before we get into the details of the insanity that has swept across the pro-infanticide people of this nation, I feel the need to express my confusion over how surprised the left is over these recent bills that passed. What did they think the pro-life movement was about? Something that has to do with gluten? The problem with the left, in my opinion, is that they are so trapped in their echo chamber, where they only hear the rhetoric they want to hear, or that confirms their bias. They're often shocked when conservatives follow their values and beliefs with legislation. And a perfect example of this is Lindsay Lohan, who didn't even know the pro-life stance existed. When she was asked about this, she acted like she had never heard of the pro-life position. To me, it's apparent that the left has no interest in seeing the other side of arguments until they're slapped in the face with them. So now we're going to dive into the utter nonsense and outright lies the left has been pushing in order to quasi-defend their abortion stances. For example, I offered him on social media, as a lot of you know, there was a girl who I went to high school with who was making the claim that women could be jailed for having a miscarriage, which is blatantly false. And when she's confronted with this fact that Alabama completely, I mean, it obviously states this in the bill that women cannot be prosecuted in the case of the death of a child in the womb, she lost her mind. She said it was rude, disrespectful, an idiot, even though she didn't want to take the time to read the bill. So now we dive in. The first and laziest argument that the left loves to espouse when defending their stance is no uterus, no opinion. Essentially meaning, if you don't have female genitalia, then you cannot speak out about the murdering of the unborn. First off, if you can't come up with a better argument than no uterus, no opinion, you probably shouldn't be advocating for your beliefs in the first place. You can have that opinion, but if you have the burden of proof to tell me why I can't have an opinion on this, I don't have to tell you why I can. Now, what really trips me up is for the last few years, or really since the emergence of the transgender movement, I was told there is no such thing as gender. So as I debate these bloodthirsty Twitter hounds, I was told because I am a male, I cannot have an opinion. But as I recall, not all women have vaginas. Not all women have penises. But when you point out this absurdity to the same people that advocate for it, they deny my temporary identity when I say I am a woman for the sake of the debate. But the logic behind this childish argument is lacking at best. Does experience confer expertise? And do I have to have experience in something to speak out against it? For example, I have never been raped. So because I've never been raped, can I not speak out against rapists and speak out against sexual assault? I have never been beat senseless by a police officer. So by the left's logic, I cannot speak out against police brutality. Of course, this train of thought is nonsensical. Just because you have the ability to reproduce and carry a child does not mean you are an expert on conception and fetal science. And one of the terms that I love the left uses is a fetus. What the left forgets is that a fetus isn't another being. It's not something else other than a baby. It's just a fetus is a stage of a baby. In saying that because you can reproduce gives you ultimate authority, that's like saying because you had open heart surgery performed on you, all of a sudden, because of that, you're now an expert on how to do a triple bypass surgery. Unfortunately, this is the left's first talking point in the long line of nonsense they tend to espouse when defending abortion. And often when someone leads with this argument, there's no point of even debating them. So I would just suggest moving on because they're not going to make one logical argument in the points that come after that. And a side note that is almost always ignored by these people is the gender of the people who ruled on Roe versus Wade were 7 white old men. Weird. I was told, no uterus, no opinion. And next up in abortion debate points for idiots is the idea that the child that the woman is carrying in her uterus is, in fact, her body, her physical body. So if she wants a doctor to inject a child with a lethal injection serum and then have to have the remains sucked out with a tube, it is her right because it is her body. The left exclaims, proudly, don't tell women what to do with their bodies, or my body, my choice. And as a party that claims to be the party of science, the fact that they are trying to make this argument is counterproductive to this claim. Since the pro-abortion crowd refuses to reference to science in this debate, I will. According to Princeton University and any basic biology book that you read in grade school, it states that human development begins after the union of male and female gametes, or germ cells, during a process known as fertilization. It is also a commonly known fact in the land of a working brain that an unborn baby is not part of a pregnant woman, for two other reasons, one scientific and one logical. The scientific reason is because the entire fetal genome is sequenced before birth and is completely different than the mother's DNA sequence. So how can it be true that the unborn child's DNA is somehow the mother's body? It's not the same DNA sequence as the mother's, but the left still claims that it's her body. If you're a person of the thinking type, the child is not the mother's body. While it is true that to a certain point, you know, the child could not survive without the mother's body, that does not mean it is in fact her body. In fact, I believe the youngest child ever born has now survived at weighed as much of as an apple. So that logical fallacy is completely falling through the cracks for the left, yet they continue to espouse it. And another logical fallacy the left espouses when it comes to the unborn child being the woman's body, it goes something like this. If a Chinese zygote is implanted in a Swedish woman, the baby will 100% always be Chinese, not Swedish, because its identity is based on its genetic code, not on that of the body in which it resides. If this child was in fact a part of the woman's body, it would turn out the race of the mother. But of course, this is not the case because, you know, science. The scientific and logical fallacies don't stop there. I have asked pro-abortion advocates countless times to answer this simple question, and time again, they have no rebuttal. If a baby is a part of a woman's body, Well, first off, we all agree that we have bodily autonomy, that I can control my limbs, that I control my breathing, I control my eyes, all of that. If a woman or if a baby is a part of a woman's body, are we honestly claiming that a woman can independently control each appendage of the baby at the same time she can control her own appendages, such as its arms, legs, and beating heart? Is the idea that the woman has two brains, four eyes, and two sets of genitalia? And the reason why they can't rebuttal this point is because it's simply not true. And another scientific fallacy that the left pushes in order to continue their pro-infanticide agenda is that the being in the woman's uterus isn't actually a baby until it's born. And a leading voice of stupidity is the snail-like creature who is Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who said in a recent ruling, a woman who exercises her constitutionally protected right to terminate a pregnancy is not a mother. And a quick note before we move forward, how could someone this stupid be put into the Supreme Court? But anyway, what is it then? A fish? The bowl of soup that Hillary Clinton's face is in? A cricket? A baseball? And another thought, just because abortion is a constitutional right does not mean it's morally right or good. Slavery was a constitutional right, and obviously we view that as a break in morality. The fact that the left is willing to ignore basic science, I cannot get a grasp around the train of thought that it is not a child in the womb. At what point does it become a child? Of course, we know, those who have thinking brains, we know that it's when conception occurs. So, if the party of science actually believes in science, then this should be a universal concept, like we said, that life begins at conception. And those who ignore this fact are willfully being ignorant to support their beliefs. And really, it's just for convenience. Or to score points on the intersectional hierarchy. So, there are plenty of different fallacious reasonings the left used to justify abortion. Another argument that the left uses to malign the character, after we've established scientific facts about conception, is that pro-lifers are only pro-birth. Essentially, this means after the child is born, that we don't care what happens to it. And one of my favorite statistics to cite when the left gets diarrhea of the mouth in this topic is the recent adoption statistics that have come out of Louisiana, where they recently broke the old adoption per year record. And just to note, Louisiana is another state that just passed a pro-life heartbeat bill. So that they'll say, okay, so even if pro-lifers are adopting at a higher rate, because you know, this is a pro-life state, so we're assuming the majority of people are in it pro-life. It is also true, so when we talk about, like, not caring about the children after they're born, it is also true that conservatives who are often pro-life out-donate and volunteer the left, and it's not even close. According to the New York Times, once a newspaper, stated that red counties vastly report higher charitable donations and volunteer time compared to Democrat-controlled blue counties. So the lie that the pro-life movement doesn't care about what happens to babies after birth is just an attempt to divert the attention from the real topic at hand, which is murdering of the unborn. And this is the topic that really hits home for me, because my family adopted, who is my sister. She was essentially addicted to drugs when she was born because of the mistakes of her mother, and was born with, you know, externalities that not everyone has. And according to the left, she could have been put into, you know, an adoption agency. Is her life not worth living? Is her life not worth having a chance to succeed and to thrive and to pursue happiness? Of course not. But the left doesn't want to put people in adoption agencies. And I think it's a ridiculous claim when they say, well, they just live miserable lives because they didn't have parents to care after them. Well, you know what is worse than living a miserable life? Being dead because your mother thought it was a better decision to kill you than to let you live your life. So the last talking point that we're going to dismantle today, and I know that I'm missing some, but that's besides the point. I'm sure there'll be plenty of opportunity to talk about this subject. The last talking point is going to fall in the lie of reasoning that the left gives for aborting the unborn. We often hear reasons like rape or incest are the reasons to justify abortion. And another reason, which is at least reasonable, is the fact that sometimes the life of the mother is in danger, so the baby must be aborted. These are externalities and make up less than 1% of all abortions performed, according to USA Today. Not the Daily Wire, not Breitbart News, USA Today. So, if the left is willing to admit that they're using the saddest, smallest portion of abortions to advocate for the wholesale of abortion, we can continue this conversation. But often they are not, and the conversation stops there. And in another shocking statistic coming out of Florida, which requires abortion doctors to report the reasoning behind why the abortion was performed, the study states that 92% of procedures were elective, meaning there was no serious health risk or externality factor forcing the abortion. Next, social and economic reasons accounted for 6% of abortions, meaning they couldn't afford a baby, which is an abhorrent reason to kill someone. And if you support economic reasons to not have a child, I really question your morality. And so we continue. And physical health and rape and incest rounds out the final few percentage points, which logically leads us to the conclusion that the pro-abortion movement has been consistently lying to the public about reasons behind abortion. Once again, we're debunking another garbage talking point. And another interesting fact, I don't know if, for those of you that have Snapchat and look at the news feeds, Snapchat has become a suppository for leftist talking points. So there was a news feed on Snapchat's news outlet from Now This, and it was essentially talking about, it was, the title of it was Women's Stories About Abortions. And this really backs up the statistics that were just listed, that it's more of a convenience thing, that, you know, women just aren't ready. So in every single story that was put on this Now This is feed and Snapchat, the women who said they had abortions did not give an externality. They said it's because they were not ready to have a child. Well, if you are not ready to have a child, you are not ready to have sex. We live in 2019. It is not a surprise to anyone that if you have sex, there is a possibility of you having a child. But we as a society have been so desensitized to responsibility that the left compares, and I've seen videos of this from Now This as well, saying that getting an abortion is just like getting a pap smear at your gynecologist or getting a checkup at your gynecologist, which is just mind-blowing to me. But it makes sense because the left has been desensitizing the value of life for so long that people sincerely believe this. And another interesting, I know I've been going on this Florida study for a little bit now, but another side note to those who have been losing their minds about heartbeat bills coming out of state legislatures, because they claim most women don't know that they're pregnant before six weeks, which is the cutoff point for the heartbeat bills. They're basically lying again. From this same Florida study, it states that 74 abortions are performed at 6 weeks or earlier. So, guess what? The left has been telling us, again, that women don't know when they're pregnant. There's no way for women to tell this. Well, that's not true. This Florida statistic obviously shows that this is a fallacy. And of course, there are other fallacies that the left love to use when talking about abortion. But to save everyone's attention span, I'm going to stop here. And if you think of an argument the left uses to attack the pro-life movement, message me and I'll attempt to dismantle this fallacy the best I can. This is a fight we are winning. This is a cultural battle we cannot use. The inherent life of children in the womb is invaluable. And again, I'm going to say this again. As my friend's wife said it best, if you aren't ready to have a baby, you aren't ready to have sex. Thanks for tuning in. This is The Straight White Male, and I'm signing off.